Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our first Cosmos DB conference. We're going to talk about how the world is turning upside down with apps and app patterns changing, and how Cosmos DB helps you sail through these turbulent and exciting times. Let's kind of go back a little bit in time, back a decade maybe, and remember how most of the apps looked largely the same. You had an application, you had an app tier, some API layer, and then the data slowly was dripping to a database. Applications were very reactive. Someone purchased a car, then at some point that this record made it into a database, and probably nothing accessed this record for a while, until maybe the next time the person comes to an appointment and we need to fetch some history. Compare this to what's happening today. In the applications, the data is gushing in. It's a river of data that is coming straight to the database. And then applications are moving in and trying to use this data to predict what the customers need. What do the users need? Very different times that require very different databases. Very different scale. Let's look through what do we need from a database in this new environment. First of all, it needs to scale instantly, transparently, and guarantee speed at any point in time. TCO is very important because the volume of data can change rapidly as we see. We'll have a couple conversations later in this talk, and we'll hear from folks building really exciting and large-scale applications and the scale changes rapidly. The database needs to react instantly. Database needs to be serverless. We don't live anymore in the world where you can think about instances and VMs. We are past that. We need to react and provide performance. Database needs to provide performance and scale when the app needs it, as the granularity that the app needs it. The data changes all the time. It's a river of data. You don't control the river. You don't control the schema. The database needs to be flexible and accommodate any changes in the schema, in the data structure. It needs to make it easy to build these apps that are robust to changes in the data shape. Of course, there are many established, very popular programming models. And the database needs to cater towards developers. Developers are those who are building these apps. They need to build these apps fast. And familiarity with tools and technologies is important. There are great programming models, MongoDB, Drive and API, Cassandra API, and there are more and more graph databases today. It's important for us to have to offer developers what they're familiar with. Now, the applications are the lifeline of the companies, right? The company does not exist anymore without with application. An application even stops working even for a second. The database needs to be reliable, provide 5-9 SLAs, needs to be resilient to failure. Even if the entire region goes down in the cloud, the data application must continue to work. At the same time, applications are also inherently omnipresent. They're everywhere. And so the database needs to be present where the customers are. And so it needs to be globally distributed so that you can bring data where the users are. Finally, applications are in need to ever as ever to close the digital loop, to provide customers timely and predictive services before they know they even need them. And for that, we need to have rich insights in real time without any delay, without any of this complex ETL complexity. Must be very fast in real time, provide analytics to drive the app, and provide BI so that the company can react quickly to the changes. Now we have this database. Many of you are using it today. It's called Azure Cosmos DB. It's fast NoSQL database with open API for any scale. Now let's talk, so we'll walk through a few of the updates to where we're taking this database forward. We'll talk to a few folks that use the database today and share their experiences, share their patterns. We are continuing to double down on serverless. We continue to offer more and more flexibility. We continue to improve the cost profile of the database, making it more and more friendly to developers. We're adding notebook supports. We're offering serverless that we recently announced. We keep in step with the development of the open source APIs for those who are familiar and like the open source APIs. And we continue working to make sure that the database is a backbone of your application. The database never goes down. At the same time, there are some exciting things happening around the real time and closing the digital loop. Let's think about the common pattern today. It's very different from this data drip that we're used to in the past. The data is coming into Cosmos DB straight through ingestion, through Kafka, through Service Bus, through any of the queuing technologies, or directly. The database instantly reacts and auto-scales, thanks to the instant auto-scales that Cosmos DB provides, database can instantly react to the volume of data. And then the application is built in as a set of microservices. The typical Cosmos DB application is built as a set of microservices that react to the change feed, this real-time interactive transaction log that Cosmos DB offers to you, so that you can augment and build and develop and enrich your application and close the loop with the user, close the loop with your customers. That's the predominant app pattern today. And let's talk to a few examples. For example, Toyota. Toyota offers predictive analytics. If you're using Toyota, lots of sensors are sending data. The data goes to Cosmos DB. Based on the data, if you're a Toyota customer, you get predictive outreach and predictive maintenance recommendations in case of something we think is going wrong, before you even face with an issue. But it is not, IoT represents more than 20% of Cosmos DB usage worldwide. But it is that pattern is not limited to IoT only. If you look at e-commerce, think about an example, and we'll hear from our friends at ASUS later in the day, but think of ASUS example, kind of very simple flow, returns. Returns are going, the signals from the app are going to the into the database straight, and then the application itself, the logic is connected as a set of microservices. Each of them knows what to do with particular type of change. And so they're all listening on change feed and processing the data, creating materialized views, and sending back the signals and driving the application behaviors. This way, ASUS can provide predictive application behaviors to their customers. Now, let me invite on stage Anand Krishnamurthy, Group Engineering Manager from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams does not really need introduction. Many of you use this today. But let's talk about how Microsoft Teams uses Cosmos DB today. Welcome, Anand.
Hello, folks. Thanks a lot for inviting me. It's a pleasure to join all of you. My name is Anand, and I am a group engineering manager for Microsoft Teams, primarily on the messaging side of things, as all of you would use Microsoft Teams. It's been a phenomenal experience, and I want to share a little bit around the same. A few years back, we had prioritized our moving of our legacy store stacks onto Cosmos DB, and that was one of the best decisions we made. We kind of use Cosmos DB all over our all through our messaging services side, our aggregation side, even the transport services actually use Cosmos DB. We're roughly doing about 6-7 petabytes of data. We're doing about close to 2 trillion transactions a second. And the scale that we've been able to achieve with Cosmos DB as our partner was phenomenal, especially given the COVID timeframe and a lot of people, you know, latched onto Microsoft Teams in order to get the remote work going. When you look at somewhere about, you know, a 2x to 3x growth the first day when we got hit, I think it was March 12th of last year, you know, we just scaled like crazy. And it was amazing to see the decision that we made on the technology stack. Now, we use Cosmos DB pretty much from, you know, bottoms up, all kinds of features, all the way from multi-masters to, you know, different sets of consistency levels and you know, all forms of replication. Our compliance engines run on Cosmos DB. And so, you know, we were pretty, you know, we were watching it pretty close, but it was phenomenal to see that over the last year alone, our usage has increased by over 10x. You know, this is, I'm talking about core messaging services. We're talking about billions of messages in a day, you know, billions of meetings that use this infrastructure as well. And so it's been a great experience, you know, moving to Cosmos DB, being able to achieve that level of scale and the kind of reliability, you know, guaranteed 4.9's reliability. And there's a lot of these beautiful reliable features in terms of automatic failover and things that have been helping us, you know, kind of achieve that kind of a transaction model that serves the real-time communication platform.
I mean, thank you, Anand. It's definitely kind of clear from this chart. This is where we're having daily transactions that are going from Teams to Cosmos DB, and we're talking about close to 2.5 trillion transactions per day. And you can see that it changes very rapidly from day to day. Obviously, during the weekend, you have more than 2x dip, as folks thankfully don't work on weekends. And then they come back to work, and the usage comes back through the weekdays. And it changes through the year. There's seasonality. There's obviously a little bit of idle periods. Not really idle, but less active during the holidays. How do you guys react to these rapidly changing volumes of data?
There's a multifaceted approach that we have in terms of reacting to this. There's different models that we follow in terms of, you know, what are the total amount of provisioning that's been done. For example, like EDU has become one of our major consumers today. A lot of colleges and school are on Teams, and we've from a Cosmos DB standpoint, we work very closely with some of the teams in Cosmos DB in order to understand the usage patterns, where to optimize and how to optimize it. The one thing that we've been pretty happy about is the scale itself. So from a compute side, yes, we've got to go put in some work to build data centers and achieve that scale. But from a storage perspective, we've been able to scale pretty high, even though our throughput, our read and write throughput's been increasing like crazy, over the last year. It's basically a combination of multiple things that we do try to keep up with the current usages.
This is really amazing. Kind of here we're looking at the database of the size of more than 5 petabytes that can take kind of 2.5 trillion transactions per day. Absolutely. Amazing. Like, I'm really glad be able to do together, and certainly wish Microsoft Teams nothing more but continuing the 10x growth. This is really exciting.
Thank you, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Anand. So as you can see, elasticity and scale are one of the key reasons kind of applications use Cosmos DB. Kind of if you just think about kind of 5 petabytes of data, and you continue to use the same database as if nothing changes. Like whether you're using it with just 1 terabyte or whether you're using it with 5 petabytes, it's the same programming model. It scales out the same same SDK, same app, and it can react to changes in transaction volume at ease. Obviously, a lot of work goes behind the scenes into this. Let's look through some of the changes, some of the improvements that we are making to make it even easier for folks to deal with rapid change. Our first, this has been out for a while, but we keep working and tweaking and improving, is instant auto scale. This is a feature of Cosmos DB where you can configure Cosmos DB on auto scale, and it will track the volume of your data, the transaction volume, and scale instantly within 10x range and it will scale asynchronously beyond the MX range, responding to your traffic. Again, we maintain the same guarantees as when you just provision this throughput manually. We maintain the same guarantees around the throughput, around latency. So you notice if you're using autoscale, your application does not face with the throttling errors or not enough resources, wait until I scale. We offer this capacity to you instantly, to your application instantly as it's required, with throughput and availability guarantees. Now, some of the improvements we are looking at in this area, one of them is ability for folks to do adaptive change to the range of the autoscale. You don't always need 10x. Sometimes you need less. You actually prefer that we kind of slow down the app a little bit so that you don't, for example, for cost reasons, you don't want to scale beyond certain threshold. So this is coming, and kind of please reach out. We can enroll you in a preview of this. There is work going on at asynchronously and automatically adjusting the range itself of the autoscale. This is coming. So today you have, when you increase the throughput, when your app needs more than 10x to grow more than 10x, as you've seen with Teams, right? That went through the roof over really overnight once we all went into quarantine and the kids went to school online. Teams usage went through the roof. They needed to scale out rapidly. And so this is, today it requires kind of going and manually adjusting your autoscale range and increasing for you to through the portal. But in the future, you won't even have to do that. You can just set it on autopilot if you need to. Many other improvements kind of we're looking at in the autoscale area, how to kind of deal with hot partition keys when it in the autoscale, and how to make it more easier for your application. We also recently introduced serverless. Not everyone may know this, we're using Cosmos DB, but today you have serverless capability available with Cosmos DB. Now, Cosmos DB always was serverless. I mean, there are no servers behind the scenes. You just provision throughput or you set it to a lot of scale and it goes. Serverless capacity mode for Cosmos DB means that you pay per request. So 1 million requests cost 25 cents. If you don't send any requests, you do not pay anything. Similarly, you pay for storage, the same rate, 25 cents per gigabyte. You don't store anything, you don't pay for anything. So it's pure consumption model. You don't pre-provision anything. It's great when you don't know what to expect from the application, when you're just getting started. It's great when you have bursty intermittent traffic that is hard to predict. It's awesome for when you have scenarios that have really low average to peak traffic ratio. It's very economical. It's fantastic for dev test. You don't have to turn off your database anymore when you go on weekends or worry that you forgot to turn it off. If you don't send traffic, you don't pay. This serverless is available today for all APIs, and we keep tweaking on it. Like we'll keep increasing the limits. Today, not all the features are available for serverless. This will change over time. The intent is to offer all of the database. For example, global distribution today is not available for serverless applications. This will change. We'll increase the storage limit for serverless databases. Many other improvements are coming in for serverless. Stay tuned. Few other exciting among friends. Few other exciting things coming down the road. We are removing our UPGP limit. Some of you may know it, not everyone. It's something when your application really uses Cosmos DB to store a lot of data, but the traffic is not high. In the past, you had to always provision some amount of throughput. That will be gone this spring, and it's actually already. You just need to reach out to us in documentation. There is a link. If you request, we'll remove that limit for you. Pretty exciting about this. So we're expanding the scenarios for Cosmos DB into kind of high storage scenarios. Not everyone runs teams with trillion transactions per day, lots of very exciting scenarios where maybe you need high throughput, but only for a limited amount of time, or maybe your throughput is not as high, but your data is really high, really large. We're adding partition key advisor. The choice of partition key is very critical when you use Cosmos DB, and it's important to choose it wisely. And sometimes you don't always can predict the future. So it helps partition key advisor helps you guide how to provide a kind of good future-proof choice of partition key for your application. We're also adding a capability called sub-partitioning. This is where you can select, add additional partition keys over time, kind of nested, so that you don't have to. If you discover, there's always a joke among the scale-out systems that when you discover London and New York among your user base, among your partition keys, you have to do something about it. So if you discover a really large partition key, sub-partition will help you subdivide it, and so that you can take full advantage of Cosmos DB seamless, transparent partitioning behind the scenes. And we talked about adjustable auto-scale range, lots of other improvements coming. Now let's talk about APIs. Cosmos DB pays special attention to offering easy-to-use API and programming model. Whether you choose SQL API and kind of use our drivers, or whether you want to use MongoDB drivers and programming model or Cassandra programming model, we are there for you. And Cosmos DB API for MongoDB is a very popular API. MongoDB is a very popular programming language. It's a great community. We love MongoDB developers. We bring all the Cosmos DB goodness, this transparent partitioning, a limitless scale, elasticity to the table, offering you through MongoDB API. Now, we recently announced support for MongoDB 4.0, and we'll follow up with MongoDB 4.2, and we'll continue adding, so keeping steps with the development of MongoDB programming models. Cosmos DB offers wire-compatible API for MongoDB. The nice thing about it is we can transparently offer you both, right? So they might, for example, upgrade from 3.6 to 4.0 should you need it, is transparent. You don't need to bring anything down. There is no kind of rolling upgrade or any of that nonsense. You just turn a button. You turn a button and 4.0 version is available to you. Some interesting and exciting features. We brought kind of client-driven transaction support to Cosmos DB. We had transaction support in the past, but it required using stored procedures. Not everyone's cup of tea to use kind of stored procedures on the server side. We brought built-in transaction support as part of MongoDB 4.0, and it will be offered across all APIs. We offer the zero downtime upgrade. The binary encoding got really, really efficient. And in fact, if you're using MongoDB 3.6 today with Cosmos DB, we recommend you to upgrade if you can, because you'll get significant improvements from the efficient binary encoding. You may save up to 40% in cost. Both on the encodings as well as the RU cost of your query operations and read operations. Of course, if you're using today MongoDB on virtual machines or on-premises, it's very easy to migrate, take that pain away from you, focus on the application. We can manage. Cosmos DB is a fully managed database. You don't need to worry about VMs. You don't need to worry about managing the database. There's no concept of DBA with Cosmos DB. It's a database for developers. Developers can focus on the application. We have your back. We take care of it. No matter whether database grows 10x overnight, it'll be there for you. Just choose the right partition key. Pretty exciting stuff. Let me show you. Few demos. So first, I want to show you how easy it is for a MongoDB developer to start with CosmosDB, right? So you can actually, let's start with Google, where we need to start with.
So you have a particular search engine of choice. Let's find try CosmosDB. This is a very handy and useful sandbox that you can select. It does not require, you can start working with CosmosDB without signing up for Azure, without providing your credit card. I want to create MongoDB account. I know you said it, signed in with Microsoft account, but if I weren't, it would ask me to. Now, it just took seconds, and I now have my free CosmosDB account. Again, as far as this is concerned, I don't have Azure subscription. I didn't provide any credit card. I just click a button, and it gave me a free CosmosDB. And it's a very beefy CosmosDB account. It can give you up to 20,000 RUs for free for a month with limitless renewals to kick the tires. Great environment. 20,000 RUs is a lot. It's like up to 2,000 or more writes per second, 20,000 reads per second. And we give you portal experience with CosmosDB. Now, you can't use all of Azure in this portal window just because, well, you don't have Azure subscription, but you can use CosmosDB and all the features through the portal and then switch to a proper Azure subscriptions once you feel like this is your cup of tea. So let's create some collection. I can play with it right here in my Data Explorer. I can go and look, I can create, here I can enable notebooks, a bunch of, I can use Mongo Shell, I can create new documents right here, save, etc. Now, but this is a MongoDB database. It's just better, right? It's like I can work with it as a MongoDB database. That's the whole point of it. So let me go to connection string. Let me take this connection string from here, and let me walk over to one of the popular MongoDB tools and connect. Now, Studio 3T is a popular tool out there. There are many others, and you can use any of them. This tool does not know that I'm working with CosmosDB, okay? It knows nothing about CosmosDB. But it detected that I have a MongoDB connection string in the clipboard. Said, okay, that's important. Now we can see the URL is actually what we just copied, right? So that's great. Let's test the connection. Again, it just thinks that it's MongoDB out there and it's excited to talk to it. Awesome. Let's connect to this. And here I have my to-do list collections that I just created. I can go to items. I can see the documents that I added. I can add more documents if needed. Go back. This is all great. I can go back to my Data Explorer. I can see that the tools are working as expected. I can look at the now I have two documents, one of them created by 3T Studio. Excellent. Now this is of course Hello World. This has been out there for a while. Some of you have if you use MongoDB API with CosmosDB, you're familiar with all that. Now what's exciting is that let's take a look at another database that I have here. And it's a little bit bigger. Okay, so this one is, let's see. Well, it's about 17 terabytes, right? So it takes some effort to set up a 17 terabytes MongoDB database on virtual machines, and good luck doing it on any of the MongoDB services out there. With CosmosDB, it's a piece of cake. You create, you keep pumping data, whether it's 17 terabytes, whether it's 5 petabytes, like we've seen with Teams, you just keep ingesting data into CosmosDB. It'll scale out transparently to you, as long as you provide for us a shard key. Now let's go to our connection string. Actually, I think I already have it opened here. So this is our the database I have. I can work with it. Let me go to Data Explorer. I can work with it here, or I can use my. There's an exciting kind of. I can use work with it here, and the data that is stored here is kind of derivative of the popular flight information. Or I can go, and you can see this has all the flights from the Transportation Bureau, and we kind of multiplied it a few times to get to large enough size. Or I can go right here, and I can run a proper aggregation pipeline query against this database. And again, this is kind of 17 terabytes. So in another kind of, if you're running MongoDB on VMs, that may take a while. But with CosmosDB, that's pretty straightforward. And it will run a little bit, and then it will return back the results. And there you go. Well, this is actually did explain. My point is that you can aggregate, you can run aggregation queries very fast against any size of data, and that's where kind of the benefits of CosmosDB transpire, right? So there are a few reasons why folks choose CosmosDB API for MongoDB. One is that you don't need to worry about manually sharding, kind of creating shards, managing shards. It's automatic and transparent for you. Limitless scale. You can start with a megabyte, and you can end with, and you can get to petabytes of data. In fact, I think the largest MongoDB database we have on CosmosDB is kind of more than 600 terabytes. Good luck doing it on the native MongoDB engine. It's transparency, automatic, instant, and granular scaling. This instant auto scale that I talked about, it's mission critical ready. You've seen kind of the critical applications that we all rely on, whether you're having your kids attend school, whether you're going and ordering a cup of coffee, you buy something in a grocery store, you use CosmosDB in your daily life, every one of us. And we rely on it working. And this is one of the values that CosmosDB brings, is that even if a region, given Azure region, goes down, RTO is zero if you're using CosmosDB Active-Active. It's serverless. You don't need to worry about instances. You pay only when you use it. And we'll talk about real-time analytics later in the talk. Now, just a few things that we recently announced, advancements to our Cassandra API. This is another API we love. Great developers out there using the Cassandra. We have now a managed instance for Apache Cassandra that helps you build hybrid Cassandra deployments. And you can take CosmosDB, you can take this managed instance for Apache Cassandra, and you can join an existing Cassandra ring to facilitate migrations. You get flexibility and control. You can take advantage of CosmosDB serverless, all within your existing Cassandra application without making any changes to it. And you can turn on things like real-time analytics with Synapse Link. Now, with that, let me bring on stage and welcome on stage the person that doesn't really need an introduction, Guillermo Rauch, CEO of Vercel, very well known in developer community. Did many contributions, many modules that we all used in the past.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excited to have you. Tell us a little more about Vercel, and let me bring up.
Thanks for bringing up our website. Vercel is a serverless platform for modern front-end focused applications and teams. So customers like TripAdvisor, Patreon, Washington Post, they host and deploy large parts of their online presence on Vercel. They're using modern frameworks like Next.js, which we create and maintain, or others, to create really rich interactive and performant front-end experiences for their customers. So when you come to Vercel, we give you this journey of develop, preview, ship. You start with developing, right? So you start with a what we call a serverless programming model. When you use a front-end framework like Next.js, we take care of everything that relates to caching, to SEO, to high performance, and we give you a really amazing developer experience. So typically, front-end developers had to choose sort of between like, I'll have a great DX, but I'll give up on SEO, or I'll have a great DX and I'm gonna forego server rendering and other capabilities that allow you to really, really scale your front-end applications. So our customers kind of get this mix of best of both worlds. They get the ability to deploy static applications and they get the ability to deploy highly dynamic or what we call hybrid applications. So we also power on the preview side of things. We every time you push code, you get a live URL on top of which you can collaborate around the evolution of your front end. So instead of collaborating sort of on top of mockups or a single staging server that everyone fights over, every single deploy you make on Vercel gets this, what we call this preview URL, which we can share around and collaborate with the rest of your team. So to give you a little bit of context of our scale, since November, we've doubled our global edge network traffic to more than 11 billion requests a week from just 5 billion requests a week last November. We 3x'd the number of this deploy previews that we generate. So we see 4 million unique deployments passing through our network every week of teams collaborating on their future front-end projects. And Cosmos DB has been a really big part of our story since the very beginning. So when we set out to create this platform that would sort of be batteries included for every front-end, for every Next.js developer in the world, we kind of decided like look for a database that shared our values and shared our design and our approach to the market as well. So the very first thing that drew us to Cosmos DB was we kind of saw this distinction in the marketplace early even as early as 2017 when we were making this decision of there were databases that were sort of databases as a service. And we also saw that there were services that provided managed databases on top of VMs. And if you sort of zoom out, they look very similar, but there's a very big distinction. And we saw in Cosmos DB that this was a database as a service. It was a serverless approach. It was cloud native, and that would meet our scale. And the number two thing I mentioned, we operate a global network, a global edge network on top of which we publish your front end projects. We have our ingress layer starting in 70 cities worldwide. We operate, we generate and cache your pages in 17 regions worldwide. So the global aspects of Cosmos DB were absolutely critical in this mission.
That's amazing, Guillermo. We all run global teams these days, right? And we have, and we all constantly need to collaborate. This is exactly the developer experience that we all aspire to, where every check-in is immediately available in preview to the entire team. Everyone can comment. How do you do this with, you mentioned the global development is an important part of the vision of Vercel, enabling global development. How does Cosmos DB help you there?
Absolutely. So one of the key tenets of Next.js and Vercel is pages have to be very, very, very fast for the end user, right? So I mentioned earlier, sometimes it's been sort of a dichotomy between I have a great developer experience, but I also need my business to succeed at the end of the day. I need my pages to be really, really, really fast. So when you go to a website hosted on the Vercel platform, like HashiCorp.com, what happens is we operate an Anycast network that automatically routes you to the nearest location where that website could live. At that point, we try to give developers tools to automatically cache and optimize their websites. So as an example, when you create a Next.js application, we notice all the parts of your app that are static. In fact, we're just looking at a static page within a very large Next.js application, which is Vercel.com itself. This, what you're looking at, is a static. So what happened was you went to Vercel.com in Seattle we terminated your connection at the nearest edge, and we served this page in a really, really performant manner. So behind all these pages, behind all our capabilities for incremental static generation, for deploy previews, is CosmosDB providing the metadata layer. So every deploy, every build, every page we pre-render touches CosmosDB as sort of the central intelligence and control plane of our platform. So instead of depending on manually scaling database instances for something that's so mission critical for us, or having to choose an individual region to host our database, we let CosmosDB do all the scaling and global replication magic.
That's amazing. Yeah, like I love the scenario, and we have many these kind of globally distributed control planes kind of built using this kind of actually Azure Resource Manager, which is the globally distributed control plane, uses CosmosDB underneath the covers. All the Azure resources, they're all in CosmosDB. Because we kind of evolved together from the very early age, and I admit there were bumpy places on the road. Thank you for
It's been an amazing journey. And as a result, and one of our senior engineers will be giving a presentation, we've collected a lot of valuable lessons that are developer focused, especially for developers that, like us, are part of the JavaScript world in the Node.js ecosystem. If you're curious about how we've scaled with CosmosDB, the tooling that we've used, the SDKs and layers on top of the SDKs that we've developed, including a CosmosDB simulator for Node, a CosmosDB CLI for Node, and a lot of our layers of instrumentation that we've added to connect our observability APM centers with CosmosDB. You'll learn all of that. Check out Javi Velasco's presentation from the Vercel team.
Thank you so much, Guillermo. Folks, please stay tune in for Vercel's presentation from Javier. Really awesome, great dev test tools were built along the way. I've used them myself. Vercel has been a really awesome partner. Thank you so much. Okay, so can I give just a few words about the one capability that Guillermo mentioned, which is this global distribution, which is a feature that CosmosDB was born with. It's a cloud-native database built around global distribution. It's not something that was bundled on top. It is part of the core engine. And therefore, we are able to achieve very fast replication between regions. Kind of replication happens in line, quickly, in real time, obviously bound by the speed of light. But nevertheless, one of the key attributes of this global distribution is ability to do true active-active deployment, multiple region writes. So application can write into any regions, no failover options needed, and achieve zero RTO. Obviously, to build these applications, you have to account for conflicts. Conflicts may arise. When you achieve this zero recovery time objective, when an entire region can go down and your application does not notice, obviously, the laws of physics, your RPO cannot be zero. But we are working on this this feature that brings both of them very close to zero. So you can use strong consistency and achieve close to zero RTO as well. Lots of exciting things happening in the global distribution. I can give you, kind of point you to one example. There is a very nice blog by Walmart engineering team that describes how they moved their e-commerce platform, Walmart.com, one of the largest, over to CosmosDB with AKS, and how they kind of used that microservices architecture backed by CosmosDB and achieved the multi-region writes, 5.9 availability, even if there is a regional failure with the cloud. And clouds do have sometimes outages, as much as we don't like it and try to avoid them. Application does not notice them, thanks to that capability of CosmosDB, the multi-region writes. Check out this blog, really awesome write-up, lots of details around how they did it. Kind of very exciting to see
a blog from Walmart.com. Now, I would like to invite on stage another really exciting application. Many of you used it in the past. Meg Holzinger, key developer behind Yammer Feeds, will join me. Meg, welcome.
Hi, Kirill. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Could you tell us a little bit about Yammer? Let me bring you an example of the Yammer feed.
For those of you who don't know, Yammer is basically an enterprise social network. You can see here on this is a typical landing page, this screenshot here. Yeah. So here you can see people are posting, you can reply, comment, like, and we call this a feed in Yammer, and feeds are core to our product. So keep in mind that this is a really high fan out model with a lot of data. And by that, I mean, if we deliver a message, it may need to be delivered to hundreds of thousands of users. And we used to store these feeds in HBase, a self-managed HBase cluster, but we now serve feeds entirely from Cosmos DB.
That's really awesome. What was kind of the most challenging part of kind of building this really high fan out architecture where you need to push these updates to so many users? And how do you do this on Cosmos DB?
Right. So, I mean, I guess I can give a little background of where we came from. We have our own self-managed HBase. We had a really small team managing that. And at the scale that we're operating, it just wasn't manageable anymore. It just wasn't sustainable. We wanted to get out of the business of storing, you know, managing our own storage and build features instead. So that's why we needed a new database solution. And as to how we chose Cosmos DB, I think we had a few key requirements. You know, we have that fan out. We have a ton of data. We have 7 terabytes in Cosmos DB. But what we really needed was something fully managed. We needed something with super low latency, and we wanted something that worked nicely with our Java environment. So obviously Cosmos hits all those buttons. It's fully managed. We trust the Cosmos team with our data. We run in 4 regions and probably more in the future in our production regions. We can add regions with the click of a button. We can fail over with the click of a button. Those are things that we could never do before on HBase. That was a day, couple hours or a day, multiple engineers. And now we just click the button. And we also love autoscale, as the previous speaker mentioned, because Yammer has sort of ebbs and flows in traffic throughout the day as people come online during business hours. And with autoscale, we just pay for what we use. It instantly scales for, you know, traffic peaks that come through. And, you know, we don't have to worry about any of that. Cosmos does it all for us. So the second thing was latency. You know, coming from our own managed storage system in our in-house, you know, in our same data center, same network, the feeds infrastructure relied on super low latency. And Cosmos ticks that as well with the, you know, sub 10 millisecond SLA. And the other thing, you know, I mentioned is that we're a Java shop. You think of Microsoft sometimes as like .NET and C#, but Yammer is actually almost entirely Java microservices, and we needed something that would work with our Java structure. And I can attest that the Java V4 SDK is fully mature and definitely production ready. We had some, you know, it was a little rough in the earlier stages, but the current SDK is definitely, you know, go-to and wonderful to work with. And, you know, as an added bonus, being on Cosmos DB unlocked a ton of feature development that just was not possible before on HBase. I'm talking things like secondary indexes allows for filtering and sorting, which we couldn't do before. And it's just, as soon as we got to Cosmos DB, our feature development just exploded because we had so much flexibility with the model. There are more benefits I can go into if we have time too.
That's awesome. I think what we really want to do is kind of, we want to set up we'll give a kind of on-demand session and sit down with you and go into details. It's a really exciting use case. Many customers are faced with kind of similar challenges of kind of having the feeds, or they can be feeds, they can be sequences, and kind of solving this large fan out problem where you have to deliver this information to hundreds of thousands and millions of users. We use Yammer every day at Microsoft. It's hundreds of thousands of employees, and kind of we all get them. It's great that Cosmos DB enables you to ride this wave of growth with ease Thank you so much. We'll do a more detailed deep dive on this. Thank you. All right. Well, I wanted kind of to show about one more really exciting feature that we have, and it's somewhat related to the MongoDB demonstrations that I gave earlier, and which is a real-time analytics, thanks to with our sister team, Azure Synapse, that we've built together. Now, with Cosmos DB in this new world, right, when the data is gushing into the database and you have to make real-time decisions fast, you have to enable your application to make those real-time decisions to close the loop with the customer. You also have to make some of these decisions you have to make yourself, whether it's to bring more in from supply, whether it's to alter, whether it's to kind of react, whether it's to call and reach out to someone. Maybe there is an airbag deployed. You want to be there for your customer in real time. How do you do this? So Cosmos DB offers the real-time rich insights thanks to Synapse Link feature that enables these real-time dashboards, BI, predictive analytics, and it's accessible through the application. The way it works is that we have two stores effectively. We have a transactional store and we have an analytical store. And so as data is coming into the transactional store, it's made automatically available in a columnar Parquet format in the analytical store and offered to through Synapse Link to Synapse, to any of the runtimes, whether it's Synapse SQL Server, which is a full T-SQL that you can use to Power BI, or you can directly talk to it as an ODBC, using any ODBC driver, or through the Synapse Spark, and you can build your Spark pipelines, Spark applications, querying this columnar store. And this columnar store is optimized for analytical queries. It's columnar, right? So analytical queries become cheap, they become fast. You don't have to build your own ETL pipeline, right? It's all managed by the service for you. If you need to transform the data, of course, you can do it in Synapse, but the data, just to do an analytical query, you don't need to do anything. The data is available to you in real time. The delay is kind of really low, seconds to low minutes, between the data hitting transactional store and being available to you in the analytical store. And as you make these analytical queries, they do not impact at all the performance of your transactional store. You don't need to burn or use anymore at all. Obviously, analytical store is much cheaper than transactional, as you would expect. It's 3 cents per gigabyte. It has the queries are cheaper, faster, more efficient, and you don't burn or use on this, which is kind of really valuable. So back now in my MongoDB demo, I ran this query, right? This is a MongoDB aggregation query. And can I, if I remove this, explain, we'll get more sensible results. It'll give me the kind of average flights, number of flights per month, and few other aggregations on our flights database. And there's a lot of synthetic data in the database, so that it's 17 terabytes, and it ran very fast, right? So I now have my data. I can see how many average per month. So obviously, in 2020, there were much fewer flights than in 2019. Now, what I can do is, if I look at the beacon, he wants to know how is this query so fast, given it's 17 terabytes data. Let me run it again with explain and get back. Okay, so if I look at this here in stages, this is kind of a query plan, if you will, right? You can see that what it did behind the scenes, that it translated into a T-SQL query and it uses Synapse Link. This is how we achieve the scale. Right, you can run this analytical queries, your application can run this analytical queries over terabytes and petabytes of data. And instead of relying on pegging your operational data store with analytical queries that tend to be heavy, right, and killing it, we instead use Synapse Link and bring this power to the application so you can take advantage of the real-time analytics and close the digital loop with the customer. That's an example of the power. This particular capability is coming soon, but this is an example of the power the Synapse Link provides, which we are very, really excited about. Now, to conclude, lots of exciting things are coming online. I didn't mention lots of security improvements, AD integration, RBAC. We're bringing Cosmos DB emulator to Linux. Cosmos DB is used across the board in many verticals. We just touched, gave you a few examples, and our wonderful guests shared with you their stories of using Cosmos DB and riding this wave of sailing through this world going upside down with the terabytes and petabytes of data rushing to your database with ease, thanks to Cosmos DB scale and performance. Whether you're using, whether you're building apps for retail, manufacturing, financial services, Cosmos DB is there for you. You can read our stories of our customers. You can tune in to our live blogs. And I hope you enjoy our conference. Many more stories are coming. Folks are going to go into a great level of detail about the advancements to Cosmos DB, as well as how they build applications on top of Cosmos DB. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show.
Thank you, Kirill. That was a lot of great content for our viewers, whether they are new Cosmos DB users or seasoned Cosmos DB developers. I think that was a lot of good content to catch up with everything that's happening in the Cosmos DB landscape. We got a lot of great questions in the chat. Unfortunately, we are a bit tight on time, so we won't be able to answer all of them. A quick note for our viewers, some questions haven't been answered because we have kept them for our speaker, but no worries, we will eventually get to answer all of them. Maybe just one, if we have time, Kirill, we have a good question from one of our viewer asking, what is the current status and level of MongoDB compatibility?
With MongoDB 3.6 and 4.0, we achieved very significant. There may be an operator or two that you may find that we don't support. And again, we have all the telemetry. So as folks bring their applications, we're always on the lookout. And if we missed one, we add it right away. We know about it. At the same time, kind of numerous applications are now running. A large portion of Cosmos DB usage are coming from MongoDB API. Kind of pretty significant customers running their lifeline on MongoDB API. There's quite a few case studies on this effort. And as I mentioned, we have hundreds of terabytes MongoDB databases running on Cosmos DB today. Compatibility is high, but the important part is that it's not just it's a compatible MongoDB database. It's a database that brings you this transparent sharding, painless experience, no pain, no worrying about scale, a limitless scale, instant out of scale, serverless. It's a serverless MongoDB database, something that you cannot find elsewhere.